Now, here's Les Winston.
Welcome to today's edition of Endow America Network. I'm Les Winston. I'm your host, and my guest this morning is David Morgan. David, how are you?
Good, thank you. How's everybody?
Everybody's good. You're upstate a little bit.
That's correct, yes, sir. That's one of four offices we have in North Central Florida.
Your primary, what do you do every day?
My goodness, there's never two that are the same, but effectively, I run four primary discipline firms of wealth management, estate planning, tax management, and income planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the rare ducks who realized at an early age that those disciplines are all intermingled and coalesce with each other.
Right. And the spiritual side of it as well, I assume.
Yes. Matter of fact, I was appointed to be head of the stewardship committee at my church in 2015. So several times a year, I'm given the task of trying to round up the troops, so to speak, the congregation, to do good works and charitable things.
Right. I thought we'd talk a little bit about charitable intent, how important that is in our communities these days. And you're a council member. You're a member of the Professional Philanthropic Advisors, a council of Professional Philanthropic Advisors. And so you are someone who understands how to use the good feelings of charitable work as well, in ways to make one feel good, but also to do some things for them as far as their financial planning is concerned. We've talked about the pursuit of charitable intent, finding it in the individual. So when you're dealing with one of your clients, how do you introduce this concept?
Typically, I have to be the proactive one. I'll use a very simple analogy that way back in my law school days. Again, I'm not a practicing attorney, but I did love the training. And back then, they used chalk on chalkboards before all the PowerPoints and computers. And one a wonderful illustration to drill home the option of how to introduce this to families is the law professor drew three circles on the chalkboard. He drew a circle at the 12 o'clock position, and he wrote the word government. He drew a circle at the 4 o'clock position and wrote church or charities. And he drew a circle at the 8 o'clock position and wrote family or loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, effectively, the lack of a solid estate plan means that first circle of government will get a whole lot more than they should or want to. So I introduced the concept as a way to, number one, minimize the outlays to the government that don't have to be done with proper planning. And number two, it's all how you frame it. But I, like many folks, have witnessed a lot of dysfunction in families and individuals over the years. And so the way I try to frame it is to give a portion, whatever that percent makes you feel comfortable, to a church or charity that would have wise use and prudence of those funds. You'd be amazed and astounded how many folks just don't think of that in their everyday planning affairs. They think, well, I've got kids or grandkids or sisters or brothers or cousins that are dysfunctional or I'm not real happy with.
Mm-hmm.
So candidly, it's a lot of times a default mechanism, again, to go to those dysfunctional folks unless it's brought to their attention that they have other options.
So what you're saying is you don't necessarily want to leave everything you have to your kids, or are you saying?
No, I'm not suggesting that by any stretch. I'm just saying, to use a real simple metaphor, if I've got 100 marbles and I have three offspring, as I do, instead of going necessarily 33 and a third to all three boys equally, why not carve out just a portion? It just might be 1 or 2 or 3%, but there's been a lot of studies and research done that even a nominal percentage of one's estate, if you took an amalgamation of a whole lot of families in the country, can make a very, very profound difference. And truth be known, I also frame it that all this inheritance and legacy we pass on is a gift anyway.
There's going to be a huge wealth transfer in the country, which is, of course, the topic of a lot of studies that have been done. When we're talking about that kind of wealth transfer, and it's been estimated anywhere from $59 trillion to $288 trillion, depending on what the estate tax limitations are and depending on what the gross domestic product is. But they estimated that the wealth transfer would be upwards of $100 trillion, let's put it that way. So
absolutely.
How does someone like you and I are professional philanthropic advisors, how do you envision that transfer benefiting everybody in the best way? Do you think the government should get a big part of it because they're a big player?
No, sir, I don't, candidly, because the average American pays somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 41 different taxes over the course of their lifetime. Sales tax, income tax, excise tax, property tax, et cetera, et cetera. So back to my original premise. I'm not suggesting tax evasion by any stretch, but I'm suggesting legal tax minimization and avoidance. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that whether it's the Alzheimer's or Dementia Society, whether it's the American Cancer Society, Humane Society, ultimately most people have some sort of benevolence or contribution that they feel comfortable giving just a portion of those funds to, as opposed to the government. And now there's also, well, getting too in the weeds here, there's a number of beneficial tax advantages of doing so. I had one of the members of my congregation, in fact, minimize some of her requirement of distributions, so her IRA funds. Now, that's not legacy. She's still alive. But by giving more to the church, she was able to minimize part of her tax bite. So it's all spin room and how you frame it. And I think, again, most people do have a calling or a cause, something that makes them feel good and important to them. And I would suggest that most people, given a choice, would offer that over the government.
This interview will be able to be found on our website, socialsecharity.org. And, of course, we want people to visit the website, socialsecharity.org, because it will educate them about endowing America using the Social Security devices. So and the Social Security devices that we're talking about are the ways for people to improve the income that they can get later on in life, and also to reduce their taxes now, but also be able to do something effective with their money at the end of their lives and leave it to their communities, to endow their communities. You have young clients who are in their 30s and 40s. Do you discuss with them the potential that they're going to get their Social Security?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I just did two workshops in one of the Jacksonville colleges this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole host of perceptions, I would argue, misinformation about Social Security is going to implode. It's an entitlement program that's going to go away. First off, I remind people it's not an entitlement program, because people that worked at least 40 quarters contributed to that and are entitled to a payback of what they contributed. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, again, if you do the research, I heard this at a conference in Chicago several years ago. The big four-headed horseman is a four-letter word called math, M-A-T-H. And it's actually, defense spending, Medicare, and Medicaid that comprise bulk of the entitlement program. So there's all sorts of papers as to when this thing will implode, what have you. But given a choice, most legislatures and lawmakers have concluded that effectively there would be ways to increase the full retirement age and lengthening the time of work hours or options for folks. So, again, I'm suggesting we must be prudent and be aware that Social Security, when it was first enacted in the 30s, there was one recipient for every 11 or 12 workers. Now that ratio, as you know, is about 1 to 2, 1 or 2.5, depending on who you read. So, again, we must be vigilant, but I would argue and propose that most working people be made aware that there's somewhat of a precipice. And worst case scenario, the most recent study I read said that by 2035, we might be entitled to 80% of what we contributed. So bottom line, I try to remind people, if your full retirement age for most folks is 65 or 66, by deferring it to age 70, that A, gives the government a few added years of leverage to build and compound interest, and B, it allows you as the recipient a greater payout once you start.
Is it a big part of the retirement planning income for most people?
Yes, sir. And if you, again, do the research, Social Security, when it originally was passed, the average life expectancy was about 62 years old when Social Security now, oddly enough, is typically starts. And here in the state of Florida, there's anywhere from 75 to 80% of retirees. Social Security has become their primary source of retirement income. Mm-hmm. And again, strategically and tactically, the program was not designed for that. It was designed to be a adjunct or a supplement to other forms of retirement funds.
Do you find that the silver collar, the the older folks that you're working with? Do you find that they are concerned as to whether or not that's going to continue in the same fashion? Are they worried about whether or not they're going to get everything they're entitled to, or do they feel that the government is secure enough for that period of time, or they feel that the program is secure enough?
You know, great question, Les. It's kind of a bell curve. You've always got 10 or 15% of the world that think Armageddon's coming tomorrow. The sun's not going to rise in the east, and we better start getting all our canned goods and water stowed in the basement. On the other end of the bell curve, there's the myopic folks who are pretty much indifferent and just don't think or care or concern. Most of the people I find are pretty prudent and in the middle. Again, cause to be concerned. There's reason to be prudent and vigilant about it. But I think mankind, as a general rule, despite all the press and noise, has remarkable resilience and ways to solve problems. So think about it. I mentioned this at a workshop last week down in Orlando. Your cell phone has really become a personal computer. To think that you can send a message to anybody literally in the world within a second or two is just a manifestation of, again, the power of mankind's ability to solve problems.
You know, most people, they're aware of Section 529 or the Section 401k. I mean, they know what a 401k plan is. They know what a 529. They may not even know that it's a section of the tax code. But when Section 664 was created in 69 by Congress, or was, you know, basically finalized, wasn't it their intent to build the charitable wealth in the country by making charitable trusts available?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of the good news in all this. Despite all the bashing of the Congress and the legislatures, the good news is there are some wonderful legal instruments you reference and some others that folks can make themselves available to. Again, this is where the reason for having a strong advisory team with lawyers and tax people behind you that can help guide you navigate these. It's just simply too complex. Most the average person just simply can't do it on their own, trying to research things online.
Mm-hmm. So the one of the things we would like to do is introduce the concept of using those devices in their planning, and we're trying to brand that, of course, as Social Security. Most people really are not aware of the devices that are available and, you know, how to use them, where to go to get somebody to help them with it, and so on. So if we have a deficit as much as we do, a $23 trillion debt, what's the way that we're going to be able to get out of that mess?
That's really math 101. We must spend less than we bring in. Income must exceed outgo. Mm-hmm. And so it's the old adage, you're going to have to look at that four-headed horseman. Medicare, Medicaid, defense, and Social Security. Those are the big four. Until that gets addressed, it's not going to go away. So, again, it means some of these programs are going to have to be scaled back, curtailed some, and look at some sort of additional taxations. When people get kind of freaked out or worried about that, most folks may not know or recall that we're actually in one of the lowest tax rates in our country's history.
Right.
The top tax bracket back in the Reagan era, for example, is in the high 70%. So the bottom line is we're going to have to, unfortunately, have to bite the bullet instead of continue to kick the can down the road. We're going to have to face this looming budget deficit.
So on our website, we have an animation that shows Uncle Sam's dilemma. You know, he's concerned about the debt and he's not sure how to solve it. So the financial planner that he goes to tells him that there was a solution by Congress over 40 years ago and nobody knows about it. So Uncle Sam's a little bit amazed at that. Then we want to take the public through the explanation of how they can make the paradigm shift from government providing social services to the community providing social services using the social security devices that were given by Congress. And so the reason we call it social security because it's very close to Social Security and they're based pretty much the same. You know, people always say to me, well, why would I want to put anything into something that my kids are not going to get? I said, well, you do that every day when you put money into Social Security, except for, you know, unless they're young enough to receive, you know, dependent income. But
so much of this is just mind share. It's kind of what I call the new shoe syndrome. When you buy a new pair of shoes, you kind of notice everybody else's. So I would argue and suggest that what we need to do is just let people become acutely aware of the different philanthropic and charitable advantages that are available to them. I just don't think we as a country and maybe us even on a micro level of advisors have necessarily done the best job of that.
Where
else we have you.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. We came around to where I was wanted to get to. So it's the reason why we have the program, the reason why we have Endow America Network and the SocialSecurity.org website, and those are both part of the Advisors and Philanthropy Foundation, which is a national charity. This is not a this is not a commercial venture. This is a venture where we want to utilize what's been given to us by Congress by making the public aware of it and also letting them know. I mean, it's been around for a long time, and of course, the wealthiest in the country have always used them. You know, they've always used these devices to avoid taxation. But now it's available to everyone, really, as long as they understand what it is and somebody can help them, guide them through it.
Carrying the torch challenge, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's but it's also it's a branding situation. We want the public's awareness to be raised, and where the term Social Security can be in the common lexicon and 664 can be as recognized as 401k or 529. And I think that's part of what we as advisors need to help to stimulate. So I appreciate your time today very much, David, and spending this time chatting. When you're out and about with your clients, and especially in this financial climate that we're having right now, which I'm not sure what it is, but do you find that people are basically optimistic, or are they pessimistic?
Well, yeah, it goes back to the proverbial bell curve. Most people think, like anything, we'll get through this. If you look at history, which I, of course, majored in an undergraduate, this is not that unusual or rare, depending on what doctor or medical professional you speak with. Both the severity, the width, and breadth of this is about in the middle. It's a little worse than some other things we've had in the past, but certainly not the worst. And if you believe, basically, and again, the power of free enterprise and an indomitable American spirit, if you will, we will get through this. And I think the bulk of the people are really moderate and prudent and realistic that, again, we're going to get through this. And I want many folks to try as much as you can, just tune out the noise. Sometimes it's best to tune out all the hysteria and the hype.
Mm-hmm. I agree, 100%. Thanks for joining us today, David. And
thank you so much.
David is available as a professional philanthropic advisor on the website socialcharity.org. To get to the Council of Professional Philanthropic Advisors, just become a minimal contributor and you'll have access to all of the professional advisors that are in our council. Thanks again, David. The clock is ticking. We need to do something about the deficit. This is the Endow America Network. We want you to join, become a contributor, learn how to use Social Secharity. Go to the website, socialsecharity.org. It's going to help to solve the problem that we have with regard to government overspending. It'll also solve community problems. I'm Les Winston. Peter, how do you like this process?
It's everything that Social Security should have been and is not.
This is the next generation's Social Security. Go to the website, socialsecharity.org.